T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
But let's go to the Wester Hotline now for our final guest of the afternoon. Jessica Smetana of Sports Illustrated joins us here. Jessica, first and foremost, thanks for hanging out with us. I'm a big Twitter follower fan, if there's such things of yours. I'm a big, even though I'm from Buffalo, I'm a big Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. And in fact, I will take a picture. I'm actually wearing a nice Notre Dame polo currently. So I know that you're a former grad and a big tweeter of the Notre Dame. So therefore, I'm a big fan of yours. Thanks for making time for me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. And I think it goes both ways. I think people follow me because they like Notre Dame and agree what I have to say, or they hate Notre Dame and want to reply to everything very angrily all the time. Thanks for being a supporter.
That's definitely how it goes. Like, you know, I mean, listen, Notre Dame is kind of like the Yankees of college basketball or college football. And I get that. But here's the thing that I don't really understand about Notre Dame. It's not like we have, like, you know, 30 championships and we rub rings from the 60s and 70s in people's face like Yankees fans do. We just are on TV every single Saturday. We're just regularly available to any and all people. You would think that, like, hey, that's cool. We can watch Notre Dame football whenever we want. Like, why you gotta hate? I don't understand the hate around Notre Dame football.
I think some of our fans can be a little rabid and give the rest of us nice level-headed fans a bad rap sometimes. But, you know, I think when it comes to college football, every fan base has some crazy fans.
You know, so, covering the Bills, you, Jessica, I would know nothing about crazy fans. I don't even know what you're talking about there. But Jessica, the reason I had you on is I wanted to talk some college football and obviously with Notre Dame, because I think everything going on, right? Like there is really no precedent for things happening today in 2020. I mean, this is the meme of all memes, 2020. It's just, there's so much good material, right? Having said that, college football is, you know, heading into uncharted territory here. We saw in college basketball, right, in March, when the Ivy League pulled out, that was really the first domino to fall. And then the rest fell. March Madness didn't happen. Both men's and women's college basketball canceled for the season. All spring sports then canceled for the season. Are you worried about the first domino falling in college football is the Ivy League canceling their fall sports season? Because then that's the first domino to fall for the rest of college football?
Yeah, I'm definitely worried about that. I think that's why, if you follow college football, this week was kind of doom and gloom. And then we saw the Big Ten decide that they're going to have an all-conference schedule a day after that. And then Pac-12 followed, and a bunch of other conferences seem like they're going to follow. So it does seem like it was the first domino, but I don't know what is going to happen with the rest of the FBS Power 5 conferences. The Ivy League is obviously a smaller thing, is kind of its own thing, but it just does not seem very optimistic right now.
Yeah, and you know, I tend to look at the Ivy League as sort of like a perfect world for college football, right? Like, there isn't as much money. Doesn't feel like such a corporately run thing. It seems far more natural, and it's like this, just like, it's the purity of sport is like the Ivy League. So when I see them make a decision that has this much consequence, now, of course, as to your point, like, there isn't as much consequence to canceling an Ivy League football season, but I do think that if you're an FBS school and you look at what, you know, the Ivy League is doing, it's hard to ignore the steps they're taking to ensure their student athletes are safe, which I think is getting lost in all this, Jess. Like, this is about keeping the student athletes safe.
I think it's about safety, but I also think it's about liability for the schools and for the NCAA. I think that there's a lot that can go wrong, because right now we just really don't have a lot of certainty about what football activities are going to do in terms of spreading the virus. If a player has it, do you quarantine the whole quarterback room? Do you quarantine the coaches? It just is this kind of slippery slope that we don't really know yet. And unfortunately, we won't really know until we have a season. And the interconnectedness of college football makes that really difficult. And especially because obviously the rosters are so big and there's so many coaches, and then students are on campus, and college campuses are a petri dish for, you know, flu disease and everything else anyway. So, yeah, I really don't know. To get back to your point, the Ivy League has a lot less to lose because they don't make the same billions and billions of dollars that, say, Alabama or Notre Dame or any of the other, you know, Power Five schools make. But it's about safety, and it's also about liability. I don't think the NCAA wants to get sued if they are found to be at fault for putting a player's life at risk. And I don't think they're going to take that responsibility right now either.
Jessica Smetana here on the Wester Hotline from Sports Illustrated. Yeah, you know, Jessica, like, the term you use, liability, definitely doesn't fall on deaf ears with me. I think that's an important distinction that, or maybe this is just the line in the sand that we should draw with college sports in general, because I do think college sports gets viewed through, like, you know, beer goggles, right? Like, it's this perfect thing. It's about the student athletes. They don't get paid. Therefore, it's this, like, you know, the holier than thou thing. But at the end of the day, like, you're right. It's more so about, well, how do we protect ourselves, and less about maybe protecting the student athletes, and maybe even it goes beyond that, Jessica, and maybe it's more about, you know, how do you like balance the liability with the loss of revenue that not only the schools are going to see with no football being played, but it also doesn't really fall on deaf ears that, like, a community like, you know, in Alabama and Tuscaloosa, like, that local economy, you know, 30% of the well-being of that economy runs around Alabama football. And as much as this is probably going to turn into a conversation of pay the damn players, I think it comes back to, like, there are more consequences outside of not football, just no football being played. Like, there are local communities at stake here, no?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, St. Joseph County in Indiana gets a lot of its seasonal revenue during football season. But if fans can't attend the games and tailgate anyways, I think that revenue is going to be lost. And it seems like no matter what happens, there's not going to be fans in the stands this season. So I think the next thing, like, the economic argument aside, if you actually really care about players and player safety, it doesn't seem like we have a solution right now to keeping players safe on the field. And it, as time gets closer and closer to the start of the season, I think that's why you're seeing all of these conferences start making these tough decisions.
Jessica, if you're a student athlete right now, like, what kind of decisions do you need to make for yourself? Because I think if you're a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields right now, I got to imagine there is a far different mindset about what to do if you're one of those two players, or if you're a fifth-year senior who this is probably your last go at major college football with no real professional aspirations afterwards. Like, talk a little bit about, like, what that athlete, the fifth-year senior, the guy that may never strap the pads up again after this, compared to a Justin Fields who has a potential number one overall pick status at play here. Like, how do you balance those two types of players in this decision-making process?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. And I think it would be hard for any team to, like, have a good conscience about putting players on the field right now if there isn't going to be 100% buy-in from every player on the team, because, like, as we've seen with what has been going on, it's really not just about, you know, one player being sick and it affecting themselves. It affects all of the people that they're around in the community and healthcare workers and et cetera. So it's kind of a, you know, from a player's mentality, I really don't know what the mentality of someone in the 18 to 22, 23 age group is right now. Especially athletes who, you know, we assume are healthy and someone that wouldn't be so negatively affected by this. But I don't know if we can actually even assume that, because we've seen that, you know, NBA players who have gotten sick have said that they're, you know, have pretty bad long-term effects and have gotten, you know, really set back in working out, and it's affected them really negatively. So I don't know what the mentality is of Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Fields versus fifth-year senior who wants one last ride with his boys, but I have to imagine that if there's any hesitation from any of those players, it's got to be pretty hard to put them out there on the field in good conscience.
All right, Jessica, I got a couple more here for you, and we're going to kind of shift right to Notre Dame. I know that you'll appreciate this thought process, right? Like, I actually appreciate people organically finding excuses to talk about why Notre Dame should be in a conference. For the first time, outside sources are actually running the conversation instead of, I'm sick of this independent. Their schedules are crap always. Why don't they just join a conference? Like, blah, 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 blah. Well, now there's like an actual way for them to organically bring it into conversation. I got to appreciate it a little bit, but like, this is definitely a tough time for Notre Dame. I mean, six ACC games. I got to imagine the ACC is going to accommodate Notre Dame in some way. I think there's already been reports that they'll figure out a way to make sure that Notre Dame can play a full conference schedule. But with that all being said, like, for the people that are saying, like, this is finally the time for Notre Dame, like, what's your response to them?
I think that that's ridiculous. I think that Notre Dame has this relationship with the ACC for a reason, and it's because it benefits both Notre Dame and the ACC, and that's why the ACC isn't going to leave Notre Dame out to dry if there is some type of conference-only scenario this season. And Notre Dame is a member of the ACC in all of their other Olympic sports and men's basketball, and I think when the ACC network was launched, having Notre Dame as a member school was part of that leverage that got them that pretty nice deal with ESPN. So I think that Notre Dame will be fine, and the mutual beneficial relationship with the ACC is going to work out really nicely for both of them. If there is some type of, you know, college football playoff in December, which we obviously hope there is if there's a season, it's going to benefit the ACC to have Notre Dame in their conference anyways, because the ACC is, as we saw last year, one of the weaker conferences right now outside of Clemson. So having them from a competitive standpoint, I think, is a huge advantage this season, too. But Notre Dame, if they haven't joined a conference yet, they're not going to do it. It's not the pandemic isn't going to be the thing that makes them, you know, like Notre Dame, this is part of the school's identity. It's part of their tradition. It's something that has been part of the football team since its inception at the turn of the century. And it's just not going to change because of one season.
So my last one for you is kind of a thought process on the upcoming season if games are played, right? How excited are you? I get the sense you and I are very similarly close in age, so therefore you were probably in school or at least a heavy Notre Dame fan while Tommy Rees was still playing. Like, I felt like overly excited about this season, like coming into it, waiting for Tommy Rees to finally get the opportunity to call plays for a full season with a guy like Ian Book that has been in the program for a few years now. Like, I'm a big Tommy Rees fan. I was when he was playing. I am now as a coach. Like, you know, do you get the sense that like this program and maybe Tommy Rees in particular, that this is going to be the start of what Tommy Rees could turn into a potential head coach in the future, whether it's at another Power Five conference or another school? Like, I get the sense that Tommy Rees is kind of one of these up and coming play callers that I'm just really looking forward to have him calling plays this year and hopefully the near future as well after this year.
Yeah, I think the feeling on Tommy Rees is very high right now. The players are really excited about it, which I think is very important. They've been around him a lot in the quarterback room for the last couple of years. And I think the biggest negative criticism that he got when he was hired full-time as the offensive coordinator in the winter was that he was young and inexperienced. But I actually think that that's a little unfair. I think he's young and experienced. He's been around college football his entire life. He's worked at Northwestern and Notre Dame. He was a Notre Dame quarterback. I don't think there's anyone who quite understands the pressure of being a Notre Dame player and quarterback like a former Notre Dame player and quarterback. So just from like a locker room rapport perspective, I think he's great for the team. But I think that, you know, the ceiling's high and I have high hopes for him, but well, I guess we'll find out. Maybe this year, maybe next year.
Jessica, thank you so much for hopping on. I know it was kind of last minute, and I really appreciate you coming on, talking some Notre Dame football and college football with me. Enjoy the rest of your summer and lead up, hopefully, to watching some college football. We really appreciate it here in Buffalo.
Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Will do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.